Welcome to Hello Somebody, a production of the Black Effect Network on iHeartMedia. Before we begin, I want to give some thanks to our team. Thank you, Grace & Co. for our graphics, Pepper Chambers for writing, Angelo Greco and Anna Mesa for managing our social media, Tiffany Hale for everything, Erica England for Patreon support, and our production team at Large Media. That's LARJmedia.com. Also, let me tell you what we have going on over at Patreon. Patreon is like our family, where you can become a member and get access to every episode commercial-free, plus videos of inspiration from yours truly, merchandise deals, and a lot more. Head over to patreon.com/hellosomebody and become a member today. All proceeds from Patreon go to support the production of this podcast.
Hi, I'm Ben, the Ben & Jerry's guy.
Hi, I'm Jerry, the co-founder of Ben & Jerry's, and the guy whose name comes second.
Ben & Jerry, it's so good to be with you again, per usual, always. And I look forward to when we're back together, as Ben would say, in 3D, in person. But it's good to have you all back on Hello Somebody.
Yeah, good to be here with you again, Nina. I'm not getting enough of you. I want more.
We're working on that. You know, I'm on this journey, this particular political journey right now, but we're going to do more of that. Jerry, great to have you too.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure.
Yeah, it's all mine for all of us. We're glad to be back together. Now, you two have been really, really busy working on social justice stuff per usual in your own way. But right now you're both focused on something that certainly has been capturing America's imagination. It is definitely linked to the movement for Black Lives, people who are in that criminal justice space. And that is qualified immunity. So, Ben, can you get us started? What is qualified immunity for somebody that's taking this journey with us during this segment and may not have ever heard of qualified immunity? What is it?
Sure. Essentially, it's a get out of jail free card for bad cops. And the way it works is that the law says that if a cop abuses you, or worse, you're not able to sue that cop for violating your constitutional rights unless there's been another cop in the same jurisdiction who abused somebody else in exactly the same way. And, there's never exactly the same way. So all these cases of cops doing all these horrendous things get thrown out of court before it ever gets to a jury. And just, the cop stays on the force, gets promoted a lot of times, and there's no justice. The victim gets no compensation for somebody who's supposedly an officer of the law breaking the law.
I want to back up just a little bit. So, Jerry, you and Ben in January, I believe, this year, 2021, you guys launched this campaign and you have some pretty powerful people with you. I mean, you're the co-chairs of this coalition, which includes the Cato Institute, the ACLU, the NAACP, activist Sean King is a part of this group with you all, Michael Render, our dear brother, a.k.a. Killer Mike, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Cory Booker. There are many, many others. I'm just listing a sampling. What made you and Ben team up in this way and launch this, I call it a campaign, this effort, but what made you all do this?
We actually became ignited after the murder of George Floyd last summer. And of course, we were outraged, as were so many millions of people in this country and around the world. And we became aware of an open letter to Congress that was written by the Players Coalition. that was signed by a group of over 1,400 professional athletes and front office people, urging Congress to end this doctrine of qualified immunity. And we were very motivated by that. We decided we wanted to see if we could get business leaders to join that effort. We came out with a similar open letter to Congress that was signed by over 700 business leaders. And as Ben would say, we then realized that having a couple of letters to Congress wasn't really going to get the job done. And so Ben had started a small nonprofit that we staffed up, started the campaign to end qualified immunity, and essentially put together a coalition, an extremely broad coalition of national advocacy groups, ranging, as you mentioned, from libertarians like the Cato Institute, Americans for Prosperity, to the ACLU and the NAACP, Legal Defense Fund, LEAP, the Law Enforcement Action Partnership, so former police officers. It's this incredibly cross-ideological group that all agrees that this doctrine of qualified immunity needs to go.
And very important for people to know, folks from all walks of life are, you know, involved in this way. So the cross, the broad, I mean, was that difficult, Jerry and then Ben, to bring together those types of people and organizations from different different ends of the political spectrum? Did you find it difficult or was it easy?
It was not difficult because all of those groups I mentioned had been interested in the issue on their own. So the Cato Institute, for example, the Institute for Justice, had been extremely active on this issue for years, as well as the Leadership Conference, the NAACP, the ACLU. It was just that they had not necessarily been working together before on this particular issue. And I think Ben and I really appreciated the opportunity to reach out to these groups and connect them. You know, Ben and I call people, we talk about ice cream and everybody's all friendly and everything. And then we talk about the stuff that's really important, like ending qualified immunity.
Yeah, you talk about political spectrum. You all are covering it from ice cream to qualified immunity. That's something. That's a lot.
Well, you know, not only that, I mentioned the groups, but on the Supreme Court, both Clarence Thomas and Sonia Sotomayor want to get rid of qualified immunity. And you can't get any more of a broad spectrum than that.
That is so true. And Ben, you wanted to jump in on this.
You know, I think the interesting thing about the campaign to end qualified immunity is that it is laser focused on this one particular issue. So because we only were working on that issue, it was comparatively easy for us to bring all these other organizations together, because this was kind of the commonality. They all agreed with this particular issue.
Yes. And so Ben, while we're on this, for people who feel as though, well, it's not just a feeling. We know that law enforcement officers every single day, they do, in fact, put their lives on the line. I mean, you know, I have law enforcement in my family, and anything from a traffic stop can be deadly for a law enforcement officer, depending on who you're pulling over. Officers have been killed just by pulling somebody over for a traffic stop. So there's some dangers here. So there is a concern among just even citizens who may not understand qualified immunity, and certainly some members of law enforcement that would say, if you take away qualified immunity, you're putting me more at risk when I'm really trying to do my job, and this is a dangerous job. Is it true that there are already provisions within law, federal law, that protect law enforcement officers overall, to the extent that we don't need this separate kind of set aside, if you will, of qualified immunity? Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. There's the Fourth Amendment, which has been adjudicated and decided by the Supreme Court on many occasions, and they give the officer a tremendous amount of latitude when they're in situations of life or death where they need to be making split-second decisions. But the interesting thing about all the qualified immunity cases that I've reviewed, and I wrote a book on it, it's coming out soon.
You and Michael.
Is that they were never life or death situations. They were never split second decisions. You know, there was a woman who was trying to video a bunch of cops that were beating somebody up. And they then pulled her out of the car by her hair and slammed her on the pavement. There was another guy who, you know, was going to visit his girlfriend's apartment. And, you know, some cops thought that he might have been a suspect. And, you know, within 6 seconds of them showing up, they shot him from 50 feet away. Cops have stolen hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the judge says, yeah, you stole hundreds of thousands of dollars, but there's no precedent of a cop doing that before in your jurisdiction, so I'm going to throw the case out of court. You're not going to be responsible. I mean, the issue is really about accountability. That,
sure,
you know, cops are the only element of our society that we authorize to use lethal force in our name. And
sure,
what
sure.
happens is that because of qualified immunity, they are less accountable than I am. They're less accountable than any other citizen. I mean, if I haul off and punch someone in the jaw, I mean, they can sue me. If a cop does it, you can't sue him.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think to build on that, we're very clear that this is not an anti-police measure. We recognize that police have very difficult jobs, and there are many, many police officers who go way over and above to help people. But what qualified immunity does is it only serves to protect bad cops.
Sure.
You know, as Ben mentioned, police have very strong constitutional protections, even from making mistakes that can be lethal mistakes, so long as they are operating in good faith.
Sure. And that, yeah.
Yeah.
No, go right ahead. No, operating. I mean, I just wanted that whole notion of operating in good faith and accountability and transparency goes a very long way. And the murder of George Floyd just kind of shook this nation out of its slumber, in that there are a lot of things we got to do behind the murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and so many others. And dealing with law enforcement and qualified immunity is just one of many things we have to deal with. We got to deal with the systemic issues in this country when it comes to racism and anti-blackness and white supremacy, and how we all are in need of, in this country, a lesson. You know, we got to deconstruct our construction. We are all impacted or socialized in this nation when it comes to the patriarchy or toxic masculinity, as they're saying. All of that stuff is rolled up into policing, and just even the history of policing in this nation, especially when it comes to the African-American community, was never one for protecting and serving. It was for watching and surveilling. And we just have to come to grips with that. And it's not just in policing. We see it in other aspects of our American society, which is harder to deal with. So the book, Ben, I want to go back to that, titled Above the Law, How Qualified Immunity Protects Violent Police. I love the emphasis in this book and also in the work that you and Jerry are doing about violent police. You're not talking about good police. You're talking about bad police. So you have a co-author on this book, somebody that is no stranger to being in social justice, hails from the great state of Georgia. and sat at the feet, was blessed to be mentored by many civil rights activists, starting with his own grandparents, and that's Michael Rinder. Can you share with us some of the lessons learned from writing this book and exploring this issue as deeply as you and Jerry have done?
Well, one, you know, Michael, Killer Mike, is an amazingly powerful and inspirational guy, and just so passionate. He inspires me.
And me too.
What struck me writing this book is that, you know, all the cases in the book, there was no videos of the cases in the book. I mean, I remember being in the demonstration in D.C. after George Floyd was murdered, and one of the signs that struck me the most was how many weren't caught on video. And, you know, how many? Hundreds, probably thousands. I mean, it's just unbelievable when you get into it and you see how much of this stuff goes on that you never heard about. You know, I started to really feel for, you know, these victims. David Colley in Texas. I mean, he was a guy who was studying to become a filmmaker. He was leaving his work. He was just going to actually help out a friend. And, you know, some cops, they're off-duty cops. They hear something on their radio about, you know, two black guys, and they gave, you know, a height description of the black guys, you know, stole some sneakers. And they see this black guy. That was the only similarity between the description. I mean, it was a really tall black guy, and this guy was not tall at all. And they say, hey, where are you going? He points to where he's going, and they shoot him. So I don't know, man. I feel good that I'm doing something about it. I feel good that I'm, you know, that I'm not just reading it and saying, oh God, that's so screwed up. So, and you know, the other part of it is that the huge majority of people that are abused by the police are black. There's definitely a racist element going on here. You know, when you know, every time you hear about some police officer doing some horrendous thing, there's somebody from the Fraternal Order of Police who gets up there and makes some statement about how this guy was great, he didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, I mean, it really makes me think about the Fraternal Order of Police. And, you know, I start learning about that. And, you know, it's a lot more like a fraternity than it is like a union.
True.
You know, the only presidential candidate they ever endorsed was Trump. They are always very politically active in terms of making political contributions and trying to get laws passed or changed that affect their work and how they're treated. And in an organization that has 30% black officers, there has never been a black officer in a leadership position in the FOP.
Wow, and that is sad. And it is a commentary again on our country. You're talking about policing, but even if we go into the business realm, or, you know, you just name mega institutions in this country, and you will see that very few African Americans are at the top of those organizations. And I don't know, you're making me think when I think about the slave patrols. I mean, there are lots of books that we could direct people to read to understand the history of policing, especially when it comes to the black community. You know, I'm thinking about crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge right now as I think about the, you know, the Honorable John Lewis and others who were walking across that bridge. And on the other side of it was a highway patrol. You know, these weren't just civilian white people. These were white men in uniforms on horses that in our name, as you say, you know, beat those marchers. And if you look at any of the civil rights footage, from the water hoses to the dogs, you know, that was at the hands of law enforcement. So we got to really come to grips. You know, the great leadership guru Stephen Covey once said, seek first to understand and to be understood. And so many of us don't want to admit that this is part of the fabric of this country, and law enforcement is mirroring. But the challenge with it is that they have our authority, they have the badges and they have the guns, and they are mirroring. They are a reflection of a larger problem in American society, and we got to deal with all of them. And so I just salute you and Jerry for what you're doing. The book is Above the Law, How Qualified Immunity Protects Violent Police. So Jerry, where do we, well, before I'm going to go to Jerry, Ben, where the book is coming out and where do people get the book?
Right now, it's available for pre-order on the OR Books website. I think it is soon going to be available on the online retailers, and then on the, and then it's going to be available, you know, actually at your local bookstore.
Okay, there it is. And when is it coming out?
Any day, they tell me.
Any day. So we're in March. We're in the latter part of March. So any day. So hopefully by the end of this month or into April, people can look for Above the Law, How Qualified Immunity Protects Violent Police. We all should educate ourselves and care about this. Jerry, where do we go from here? I mean, you and Ben have assembled some power players, as you described for us, across political spectrum and beliefs. And you have brought these people together and these organizations together with one goal in mind, and that is getting rid of qualified immunity. Where do we go from here in terms of just everyday citizens who hear the word qualified immunity? They automatically think a certain way. Where do they go? They're going to read Ben and Michael's book. But how can everyday people get involved? So I just found out about qualified immunity. I'm just as mortified as you and Ben are. Where do I go? What do I do? How do I get involved if I want to take this up as a cause?
You should come visit the website. It is campaigntoendqualifiedimmunity.org, which is a lot of words. I think Ben might even have a smaller number of words you can visit. Right, Ben?
holdcopsaccountable.org gets you to the same place.
Okay.
There are a lot of resources there for people to get involved. You know, what's going on right now, Nina, is there's proposed legislation both at the federal level and also at many state levels. The state of Colorado actually got rid of qualified immunity in police reform last summer. It's active in the state of New Mexico right now and probably will be in another four or five states. At the federal level, there is a standalone bill to end qualified immunity. And there's also a bill, the Justice and Policing Act, that ending qualified immunity currently is part of that, and we're hoping it's not going to get stripped out of that.
So do you both see light at the end of the horizon on this, so people can go to...
There is light if people get involved. If people demand that this changes, it will change. And if people listen to us and say, boy, isn't that wonderful what they're doing, then... yes, it's wonderful what we're doing, but things might not change.
Yeah, so you just got to go to the website, holdcopsaccountable.org, and enter your email address. And when you do that, we can then alert you at the time when your voice is most needed to make a call to your congressperson, or we have a great easy letter to the editor writing tool on the website. And that's what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, we have an opportunity to turn protest into policy, to actually make change. And, you know, we end up talking a lot about policy and accountability and police and whatever. What is so powerful about the book that Ben and Killer Mike are putting out is that it is stories about the people who are impacted. And when you get right down to it, it's about people. It's about victims who have no chance for justice. And this is a country that supposedly is all about justice. And we need to make sure that it's not just words, but that it's reality.
That it is in our deeds, D-E-E-D-S, in our deeds. So you can go to holdcopsaccountable.org to find out more information about qualified immunity and how you can get involved. This conundrum, this problem, is all of ours to solve, not just one group of people. It's going to take all of us. And in the words of the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., what affects one directly affects us all indirectly. And Jerry, when you said it comes down to people, doesn't it always, that we can turn protests into policy if people are willing to get involved? There's so much work to do in this great nation, and many hands make for light work. And so we're asking those of you who care, are in the criminal justice space, that you bring your hands to do this work to help us end qualified immunity. We cannot get justice in real time for the people whose stories are being told in the book that has been written by Ben and Killer Mike, but we can get justice moving forward and make sure that their deaths and the tragedies that they have endured is not in vain. Ben and Jerry, Lord have mercy. It is always a great pleasure to have you two with me and with us and in this movement. And I just want to thank you so much for being the activists that you both are and using your cachet and the blessings that the Lord has given you to move justice, to make crooked paths straight, to stand side by side with your sisters and brothers in this struggle who need so much for voices like yours to be out there. Thank you so much for all that you have done and all that you are doing right now in the present. I love both of you so very much.
Thank you, Nina. You know, people can't really see what it's like, but, obviously we know you and have worked with you before. And there is nothing like coming into a room and seeing Nina Turner there. There is just nothing like it. There is no feeling better in the world than to come into the room with Nina Turner.
Aw, thank you. Got me blushing.
And we got to start giving them that feeling in the Capitol building.
Amen to that, from your lips to God's ears. Well, thank you both very much, and nothing but love for you. Hello Somebody is a production of iHeartRadio and the Black Effect Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I've been thinking about Hello Somebody and all them bones, the wishbone, the jawbone, the backbone. I've been thinking about them red hot cinnamon candy glasses that are going to sit right on top of your pint, mother.